If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Fires it upfield. Caught over the middle. Michael Pittman Jr. There he goes. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Slips out of a tackle. 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. Michael Pittman Jr. takes it 75 yards to the house.
Big run. Angling left. 40. He's at the 30. Down the near sideline. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, a 49-yard gallop to Peter.
In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
Welcome to the official Colts podcast. I was in another day of the week there, but now I'm back here.
And welcome.
I'm glad to be back. I'm Jeffrey Gorman, J.J. Stankovitz, voice of Lucas Oil Stadium, also a great writer and media member of Colts.com. Find out all his stuff online. Follow him on Twitter, X, at J.J. Stankovitz, voice of the Colts. Matt Taylor is with us here. Find him at Mate Colts on Twitter, X. Lara Overton is on assignment. Guys, we're going on the football field, but one foot is off the football field.
Always.
With this first topic, all right? I'm going to give you a trio, okay? And this trio is as follows. Anthony Richardson, Tyrese Halliburton, Caitlin Clark. My question to you is, as far as three-headed monster goes in professional sports, is Indianapolis at the peak?
So, Mate did, I can see Mate's computer. There's a bunch of red here. A lot of research. So
okay.
That's great. I wanted to
not really, but
well, it's more than what I did, which was I had this conversation with Lawrence Holmes, who's a radio host in Chicago, and I did his podcast a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about what this trio would look like, and I was like, put these three up against whoever Chicago's got, which right now, before this, you know, before Caleb Williams winds up going there in the draft, it was like Connor Bedard, who's a star for the Blackhawks,
sure.
And then he was like,
"See, I didn't do hockey. I left hockey all the way out, so
okay,
I can't do hockey."
So honestly, though, you got Connor Bedard, and like, I don't know, like, that's about it.
Yeah.
Some hockey fan's gonna get really mad.
Yeah,
sure.
Sorry, whatever.
But I was like, okay, who else does Chicago have? Okay, you're gonna have Caleb Williams. Yeah. All right, and then who else? He was like, Cody Bellinger. No, Cody Bellinger is not it.
Yeah.
You can't take anyone on the White Sox. They've been shut out 6 times in 16 games.
Oh, nice.
They're truly awful. the Bulls don't have anyone. The Bulls are terrible. The Bulls are so bad that since moving to Indiana, I've become a Pacers fan.
Really?
I just swore them off. Why would I spend
my
time watching them?
That's 30-plus years of fandom.
It is. Why would I spend my time watching them? They're terrible.
Well, I can get into
it. Pacers are great, though.
I really could. I'm just going to say.
Anyways, Mate did some research.
Los Angeles. How about there?
Let's go. They're old, though.
What's
that? LeBron, Otani.
See, I wrote, for L.A., I wrote down Justin Herbert.
Uh-huh. Not bad. Good player.
So we have to define what old is. Like at like the 25-year age
threshold. Herbert would count in this group here.
So, I know, but like hold on. Like LeBron's up here, and Tyrese, who's a great player, is here.
So well, talking about young guns.
We're talking about young. Like this is the potential of the town.
Okay. So Austin Reeves.
The future is bright theme here.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're on it. We're at the top of the Christmas tree. I'm saying we got the brightest bulb, guys. I mean, with that three-headed monster.
Honestly, the only thing that I think somewhat rivals it, and I still think it falls short, is Cincinnati.
Here we go.
With Joe Burrow. Now, that has nothing to do
here
with
it. Here we go.
The Reds
you
fandom has nothing to do with it.
Ellie De La Cruz. Okay.
You've got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Ellie De La Cruz,
you're right,
you know, Matt McClain.
Well, Matt McClain's shoulder.
Good pull.
Like,
very much this year out of the question.
Good pull. Yeah. See, I couldn't even do that in my head, and I'm glad you did that. Good pull. I think that's right up there with Indianapolis.
But yeah, I mean, New York has Daniel Jones, if you want to classify him. You
okay.
got Julius Randle, but he's 30. Aaron Judge is 31.
Yeah.
Juan Soto's 25.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Indianapolis kind of wins the mantle there.
Okay, we do win the mantle. So, by the way, welcome Caitlin Clark, and I can't wait to bring, you know.
How cool was that?
Yeah, pretty
that
cool.
Amazing.
I mean, the two-time back-to-back player of the year.
Did you see the atmosphere at Gamebridge for the draft party?
Huge.
Yeah.
One of our graphic designers, Grant, he's got season tickets, and he went there, and it looked incredible.
Really?
When they announced, you know, with the Fever select Caitlin Clark, whole place goes nuts, and it looked like there was a good crowd there. Like,
excellent.
I'm very excited for to go to some Fever games, get on that bandwagon.
All three of those players are the arrow is up, and that includes Anthony Richardson and obviously Tyrese Halliburton getting ready for the playoffs. Congratulations and good luck to the Pacers. Okay, let's talk about in our own backyard right now. Big week, guys. Big week. Players are back in the building. Everybody's around there talking to players and such today. One of the top things is JJ. We're going to hear from DeForest Buckner and you. Mm-hmm. You caught up with him earlier today, but that's a big buzz around here. I mean, putting 2 years on that contract, being one of the best paid linemen, defensive linemen. What does that mean for this whole thing as far as the defensive prowess, Gus Bradley's defense?
I mean, I think you can look at this defense, and DeForest Buckner's kind of been the engine that runs it. Him and Grover Stewart in the middle of it, they've been a driving force of whatever level of defensive success the Colts have had since Buck got here in 2020. It's been those two guys in the middle, you know, wrecking stuff against the run, wrecking stuff against the pass. But the thing with Buckner, and this goes for, I think you look at, you know, Grover Stewart, Kenny Moore, these other guys who the Colts have rewarded. These are guys who are pillars within this team. They're guys who, whether they lead by example or lead through their words, these are guys who you want to have around. You are sprinting to the negotiating table to get something done to keep DeForest Buckner here. And that's not a quality you get in every single player. There are some great players who teams are like, you know, maybe we could maybe we could replace this guy. The Colts have shown there's replacing DeForest Buckner. It's something we haven't really even thought about because he doesn't miss any games.
Right.
But this is a guy who, Mate, I think he's one of the most indispensable, if not the most indispensable guy in this defense.
Well, he's missed one game since 2020, and it wasn't because of injury.
Yeah.
He was a close contact due to COVID.
Wow.
Right? So you're talking about the durability, the consistency, and you're right. If you're talking about most indispensable Colts, at least since 2020, it's probably a tie between DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. And you don't have to be a football savant. I mean, if you watch the Colts last year, when those two guys, I mean, they can't play every snap. Buckner's still playing 70% of the snaps, right, if not more, on average throughout the course of the season. So when those guys aren't on the field, it was a noticeable difference. Mm-hmm. And this is all due respect to Eric Johnson and Taven Bryan, but again, Grover Stewart,
different player, yeah.
They don't grow on trees,
right.
So that's why when you have a chance to re-sign or extend, in this case, DeForest Buckner, who's a willing participant in wanting to come back and showing that loyalty, like you talked about today, it's a win-win-win-win for everybody involved, the fans included. So that's why I think the signing, and this is kind of off tangent a little bit, but that's why the signing of Raekwon Davis is so big, so that the Colts
Absolutely.
Aren't so vulnerable when Buckner and Grover have to be spelled. But yeah, you talk about just guys that are elite at their positions, especially now that Aaron Donald is retired. That's DeForest.
JJ, this guy, leadership is one thing that he brings. He's an older player, but still a dominant player. But there's other intangibles. Give me some that make him what he is, and arguably, like you said, one of the most indispensable defensive players the Colts have.
So when I asked Ryan Kelly today about, you know, what's kind of stood out to him about DeForest Buckner since 2020, he was like, that guy's car is always – he's always got the first spot in the lot because he's here at 5:30 in the morning – getting a lift in, getting treatment in. Like, it is not for nothing that this guy doesn't miss games. I mean, remember, what was that, 2022, where he played with that big, gigantic brace on his arm? Didn't miss a single game. The work that you put in to keep your body in as ready shape as possible, to play through the rigors of a season when you are quite literally in the middle of over 1,000 pounds of humans to go try to make plays, like, that is a lot. And Buck's ability to lead by example in that sense with his work ethic, that if you are a young player walking in this building and you aren't matching what DeForest Buckner is doing, you're not giving yourself the best chance to succeed in the NFL.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, Zaire Franklin said it today too. He's like, Buck keeps me in check. Buck is the guy who's like, come on, Z. And he's like, all right, maybe, you know, maybe I should, you know, take a step back. Maybe be a little quiet here. Like, Buckner's experience playing in the Super Bowl, a game, by the way, in which he dominated that Super Bowl against the Chiefs, where Mahomes wound up coming back and winning it.
Right.
Buck had, what, 2 sacks, something like that in the game. This is a guy who is constantly doing whatever he can to get back to that moment and then win it. And he's the guy who, if he's leading, everyone else needs to follow that guy.
Yeah. And just in terms of on the field, like intangible stuff that maybe not the common fan is going to notice. I mean, the diehards obviously take heed to it, but just throughout the course of the season, still to this day, the amount of double teams he's continually seeing. I mean, what is the number since 2020?
60%.
Like 60. Yeah, it's like over 60%. Still, the double team rate is still there. So that just speaks, obviously, the respect that other teams pay to him, and he still wins. and he still wins. I mean, the pass rush rate is still very high despite seeing two and three people and guys chipping on him. So that's obviously really big for the exterior pass rush, right? The guys on the ends. I mean, the Colts, we forget, still had 51 sacks last year as a team. You want to see that obviously be consistent. You want the sack total to be a little bit more meaningful, if you will, come in the right places, right? Crunch time, fourth quarter, you know, more pressures on the quarterback. But I think that's where DeForest Buckner comes in, where he consistently is pushing the pocket back into the quarterback, letting the guys on the outside feast, continuously stops the run. I mean, on average, he has like 70 tackles per season since he joined the Colts. I think he ranks second all time in Colts history in tackles among defensive tackles, and he's been here 4 years.
Wow.
He certainly is. It goes without saying, one of the most important players on this defense, and the entire defense is back. They're running it back, and without DeForest Buckner here for the long term, I think it would have been hard to kind of find that, you know, punch that the Colts defense needs.
Just like real quick context to that number about the double teams. Mm-hmm. That's basically what like Aaron Donald and Chris Jones see. You're talking about two guys who, you know, Aaron Donald, obviously, before he retired, these are two guys who are making over $30 million a year,
right?
These are the two consensus best defensive tackles in the NFL for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Buck right there with those guys. You look at sack totals. It's Aaron Donald, or Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, DeForest Buckner since 2020. He is right up there with the best defensive tackles in the league, and that's why he's sticking around. That's why the Colts made it a priority to get a deal done with him a year before he hits free agency.
Before we throw to that interview, we sat down earlier with DeForest. Feather in DeForest's cap, as far as respect goes from the organization, they didn't have to extend him. They didn't have to. They didn't have to, but
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, he's coming back in the last year of his deal.
Right.
That's right.
And this was different than with Zaire Franklin, where his contract didn't match the play that
the
he
play,
had.
Play, sure.
DeForest Buckner signed a market rate extension when the Colts traded for him in 2020.
Right, right.
He now signed another one. But, you know, yeah, you could have said you're going to play out this last year and then we'll deal with it after the end of the season. But this was like, no, there is not even a shot. We want you sniffing free agency.
And I also think, too, this I think, is part of the message that has been sent this offseason that, I mean, obviously everybody knows that, you know, the Colts are, they take care of their own. They grow their own, develop, re-sign. Obviously, that's how the Colts want to be built and have been built under Chris Ballard. But I think of it, too, you look at this defense, all 22 starters are coming back on both sides of the ball, obviously all 11 starters on defense. But I think I did the math the other day. With Buckner now back, it means that I think 10 veterans on this team are under contract through at least the 2026 season. All right, so you got 11 rookies from last year's draft class, 10 veterans. So basically the message is, boys, it's time to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is what we believe in, right? These are the guys we know we can win with. The consistency is there. It's been there at times. Obviously, on the defensive side of the ball, the next step is here. And again, I know I'm on a tangent, but it's time to win more close games. It's time to close games out, get more consistent pass rush. We can't win big. We can't go where we want to go in the playoffs if we're giving up a high point total, which has been the case the last 2 years, finishing 28th in total points allowed. But I just think in year number three under Gus Bradley, there's just too much talent on this defensive side of the ball to not be making the playoffs now. And that's not me speaking for Matt Taylor. That's Chris. Those are Chris Ballard's words. Mm. You know, that was his message at the end of the season. We should be competing now for division championships. And I don't think, based on the nucleus that's here, there's going to be no reason that can't happen. That's what makes me so excited for this upcoming season, that the Colts were an eyelash away from making the playoffs with a backup quarterback last year that had to play 13 games.
Right.
You put all of this together now with Anthony Richardson healthy, I think you're going to see a really, really fun season.
And those veterans in that locker room know it as well. Let's catch up with DeForest right now. Sign the extension right there. J.J. Stankovic earlier today caught up with the big man.
All right, I'm J.J. Stankovic, joined here by Colts defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. DeForest, congratulations on signing a contract extension on Monday.
Sir.
With the Colts, just what does it feel like to know you're going to be here in Indy for a little while longer?
Yeah, appreciate it, J.J. I mean, it means a lot, you know what I'm saying? 4 years ago, you know, Ballard and the Ursays brought me in, you know, to do a job and you know, try to help this team and lead, you know, help lead this team. And, I mean, it's just a surreal feeling, you know, being able to to come back for a couple of extra years. And, you know, just the faith that Ballard has in me, you know, as a player, as a person, means a lot.
This whole offseason for the Colts has been kind of defined by keeping their own and, you know, investing in their own, whether it's been Kenny, Grove, Z, now you getting this extension, Tyquan coming back. What do you think that speaks to the organization, the work you guys have put in, and just the level that you guys can now reward the organization?
No, I mean, it means a lot. You know what I mean? Just an organization that believes in the guys that they invested in over the years, and they continue to invest in us, you know, to take this, you know, team to new heights. And, you know, when I got here, a lot of those guys were really young. You know, they were young guys, didn't have a whole lot of experience. And, you know, just obviously, you know, gaining all that experience over the past couple of years. And, you know, we're, you know, keystones in the within the team, within the organization, and being able to keep everybody in-house has been amazing. And, you know, I'm just excited to move forward and, you know, get the show on the road, man.
Grove and Buck together again.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that pairing has been so good for this defense. It's kind of been almost the heartbeat of this defense. You guys both having that experience playing together, now getting to play together for a couple more years here. Where can you guys both take your games playing off each other?
Man, we can continue to get better each and every year. I feel like, you know, since I got here back in 2020, you know, our chemistry, we hit it off the bat, you know what I'm saying? And just each and every year we just push each other, whether it's in drills, you know, whatever it is, you know, we're competing against each other to make each other better. And that's the relationship you want, you know, amongst your teammates. And that's where we're able to play at such a high level. And it's so fun watching Grove, you know, over the years, the player that he's, you know, become. And the potential that he still has to be an even better player. So I'm just happy to be able to continue that over the next couple of years.
Playing in the NFL, it is not a guarantee you're going to get a second contract. To earn a third contract, now, when you put pen to paper on Monday, what did you kind of reflect on?
Man, just all the hard work that I continue to put in each and every year. You know, I'm a this game, it's all about consistency. So being able to do it over the past couple of years on a consistent basis, playing at a high level, I mean, it's very rewarding. You know what I mean? Like you said, a second contract is hard, but a third one's even harder. So, and, you know, I can't just – it's not just me, you know. My rock at the house, you know, my wife, you know, she's pushed me through a lot of adversity, you know, a lot of, you know – mental obstacles that I've had along the way, and she's helped me get through, you know, through those obstacles, and been there in my corner since I stepped foot in this league. So I mean, it's been a blessing to have her by my side as well.
You're a Hawaii kid. You played your college ball at Oregon. You played your first 4 years in the NFL in San Francisco, all on the West Coast. You're not a Hoosier. Like you're here in Indiana. What's your favorite part about living in this part of the country?
You know, I would just say, you know, just being able to come here back in 2020, I was just starting, you know, my wife and I were just starting our family, and we got two beautiful little boys now, and just being able to raise them, you know, in this environment, in this culture, out here in Indy, it's been amazing. The people have been amazing. Yeah, it's just like we were able to, like you said, we're both from the West Coast, and I'm from Hawaii, and being able to build our little village out here, you know, with the people out here, it's been amazing, man. And we did, you know, there's no place we want it to be. You know what I mean? Our family is rooted here.
Is that just like, how meaningful is that to not only have your roots in a team and have your impact as a captain, a Pro Bowler with a team, but to now have your roots with a family in one place, and you get to stay here longer now with this extension?
It means the world. You know, you don't find that, you know, it's hard to find that, especially in our business. And, you know, just seeing how happy my boys are, my wife is, and how happy I am, you know, with the relationships I've built out here. It's just, like I said, it's been a blessing, man, you know? So being able to, that was my priority number one was making sure I was staying here, staying put. And God willing, you know, he blessed my family to be able to stay out here and remain Hoosiers.
It's been a big week for the Buckner family. You obviously signed the extension, but your son, your oldest son, debuts in T-ball over the weekend. So that's great.
How did he do? I mean, he did great for his first game. You know, I honestly thought he was going to get a little shy with everybody, all the eyes watching him, but he embraced the moment, and, you know, he had a great time. So it was a lot of fun.
I always like talking with you about being a dad, because just a quick aside story here. In February, I took my kids to an indoor play place up in Westfield, and they're running around, and my son's just staring at the dinosaur setup in one of the party rooms. And here comes DeForest holding like four pizzas and a cooler with drinks, setting up for his kid's birthday party. Yeah. It's so cool seeing the work you do on the field, but also the kind of the person you are off the field and the kind of dad you are off the field.
Thank you.
So.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, being a dad is a full-time job. And honestly, besides football, it's the best job I've ever had. So, I mean, it's great.
Well, Indy's happy to have you here. Happy to have you back with the Colts. DeForest Buckner signing a contract extension on Monday. Congrats again, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Colts.
JJ, pull one thing from that quick interview you had with DeForest that said to you, golly, this guy is a different animal. Not only is he fills a room up with his athleticism and his size and everything like that, but as far as being the dominant interior lineman like he is, and going into a veteran status like he has, just give me something you pulled away from that interview that said, this cat is different.
Can you say the whole interview?
Well, I want to say this. He's different in that, and I asked him this, and he's from Hawaii, right? He played college ball at Oregon. Then he played for the 49ers. So he's always been, you know, on one kind of part of the Pacific Coast. And then he comes here to Central Indiana, a completely different environment, and he loves it here.
Yeah.
His family loves it here. And I kind of filled it in there, but like, so I'm at an indoor play place in Westfield back in February, and my kids are running around, and then all of a sudden one of my sons goes and he's looking at one of the private party rooms that had, it's all dinosaur themed. And he's just kind of staring in there. And I'm like, hey buddy, that's, you know, it's not our room. Looks like someone's about to set up for a birthday. And I turn around and there's DeForest Buckner holding six pizzas and a cooler with drinks, wheeling it in, just going back and forth from his car, setting up for his kid's birthday. And, you know, I chatted with him for a little bit, but like seeing stuff like that, we're like, it's not just that DeForest Buckner is a great football player, a great leader, but like he's a great dad.
Yeah.
And that's really inspirational. I think to, you know, someone like myself, I'm sure Mate, you can identify too, you know, who are dads of little kids.
Sure.
And well, hey, if, you know, DeForest Buckner can make time for his kids and he can be the kind of dad that he wants to be while still playing in the NFL and doing everything that it takes to play at a high level, like, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like it even that leadership and that, hey, follow his example even goes beyond just what the guy does for his teammates.
A special breed, obviously, watching them coming in from, like you said, coming out of Oregon, going to San Fran, then, you know, being in the heart of his career right here. It's amazing. A lot of players were in today. A lot of players caught up with a few of us. Mate and I, we sat down with Michael Pittman Jr., and when you brought up DeForest's kids, that's what reminded me. And I said it to Pittman Jr. either. We've literally watched this cat grow up in front of us, and his whole demeanor and his mentality and his approach to this game has now changed because he has two youngins at home.
Two youngins, and he's also, I think, deliberately responsible, if that makes sense. I mean, we talked all about the farm and how he got into that and why it's so important to him. And, you know, he's an outdoors guy. Yeah. He's an outdoorsy dude. He loves to, obviously, farm and hunt and fish. He just likes to be outside in the elements. And I think, again, I'm paraphrasing Michael Pittman Jr., but all of that just kind of reminds him of how special this is. Like, I can be able to do all of this and I can afford all of this and I'm blessed to do all of this stuff because I play football and I've been given the ability to play football at a high level. And with that, it can be taken away at any time because of the nature of this business, you know, the violent sport that he plays. And I think it just reminds him to get up early, do your work, go through the process, embrace the hard, if you will. The hard is what makes it special. I sound like Jimmy Dugan from A League of Their Own. The hard is what makes it great. And I think, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. embraces that, and that has gotten him, I think, tougher.
He said it. He's doing chores before he comes to this building. Yeah. Even during the season, he's doing chores when he returns from this building. So, I mean, it's amazing, and I'm glad that he's
on top of
up.
Having a demanding full-time job such as this,
other players spoke as well. But one last thing on Pittman Jr., I want to get JJ in on this. I asked him a question, how can he get better? I want your answer on this. How can he get better with different – not with different, but with playmakers around him, more playmakers. How do you think Michael Pittman Jr. becomes better with better playmakers around him?
I just think Pittman, over the last couple of years, he's played in a compressed offense.
Totally.
Where 2022, 2023, this is not an offense.
Shrink.
You're playing 20 yards within the line of scrimmage for the most part.
Right.
You get a guy like Anthony Richardson, get a guy like Jonathan Taylor, Hopefully that maybe unlocks something in Alec Pierce. But then for Michael Pittman Jr., that's a guy I think he has more down the field ability. We saw, I mean, like the plays that are stuck in my head about with Pittman are that game against San Francisco in the rain where he goes up and he mosses that guy for a what was that, a touchdown, I think?
Yeah, two of them in that game.
The first game against Baltimore he played where he did that.
Helmet came off.
Well, no, that was the first game in 2021. The second game in Baltimore where the helmet comes off. Like, Michael, you see him play and he's so physical, but he hasn't had a ton of opportunities to show that because this isn't an offense that's just kind of, you know, gets the ball to him more than 10, 15 yards down the field. You look at his numbers last year. He led the NFL in catches on RPOs, and it, like, wasn't even close. He was, like, 7 or 8 ahead of, I think, Zay Flowers, who was number 2. Like, all it was just, it was RPO slant, RPO slant, RPO slant, which he's really good at. But I think there's more that we haven't seen, like you said, Jeffrey, with those playmakers.
Well, I think Anthony Richardson coming back is going to be just – it's going to be enormous for everybody. But I really think with Michael Pittman Jr., and he talked about it today, Jeffrey, that when he first broke into the league in 2020, he was playing more on the outside. But because of the nature of the quarterbacks and the style of offense that they were kind of forced to play out of necessity, he came more, you know, inside, more of a slot guy. And we kind of joke, but not really, like, he's a wide receiver, but he's also a tight end. I mean, I still think he's going to dominate and make his hay in the middle of the field, between the numbers. But I do agree with you. That's not to say they can't scheme him up more on the outside. And what he said today, that's so encouraging. And, you know, it's I didn't really think about it in his terms, but he's so right. Like, there's going to be more scramble opportunities in this offense with Anthony Richardson just getting out of the pocket and making plays. We saw that with Carson Wentz a couple years ago on just, hey, backyard football, time to go down the field, high point the ball. Michael Pittman Jr. can do that along with Alec Pierce. I think inevitably you're going to see way more explosivity from this offense, and I think it's going to come from everybody just because of the way Anthony Richardson is going to play and the things that he's going to bring to this offense that, no disrespect, Gardner Minshew couldn't allow.
Double J, do we get any update on Anthony, where we're at with this as far as where he is in rehab and, you know, the next couple of weeks of where we're at as far as on-field stuff? It's coming up.
Yeah, an encouraging update from Shane Steichen today. You know, he's progressing well. You know, they still might hold him back a little bit when you get into OTAs just because there's no reason to push it. You know, the Colts have been very clear that they're going to follow the advice of the doctors to the letter of the law. It's not like he doesn't need to be ahead of schedule has been kind of the mantra about him. But I think just even getting him back in the building for these meetings that are taking place now. We're right now in phase one of OTAs. You can't do any on-field work with coaches. It's just strength and conditioning and meetings. But those meetings of just, hey, let's refresh some stuff. Let's refresh the offense for you. Now that, hey, you're back as QB1. There's no, you're not playing, so, you know, take a back seat. But, you know, this is Gardner Minshew's show to run.
Right.
Now it's back to being his show to run. And just these refreshers to get that base back for him. This is a really important stretch for Anthony Richardson in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks before the Colts can even get back on the practice field.
Well, he's chomping at the bit, as they say. Mate, we saw, we'll get to you with Zaire Franklin in a minute, but Ryan Kelly, the old war horse, the centerman up there, love it. I mean, he's talking. What did he have to say to the media today as far as this offensive line coming back intact?
Well, he was actually the one guy I didn't get to see today.
Okay.
We were doing Pittman, so didn't cross paths with him. So I'm looking forward to going back and hearing that conversation.
Well, let me try it again. JJ, with Michael Pittman Jr., Ryan Kelly.
I can paraphrase.
Yeah. What did Rhino have to say?
I just think it was interesting hearing from him about how rare it is to bring back the same five on a starting offensive line. And he made mention of, like, it's not just the starting five, but it's like the whole room. You know, Danny Pinter's back.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the backups, Blake Freeland's back, guys like that. And I think that just speaks to, you know, he talked even about how Tony Sperano Jr. kind of goes to bat for these guys. But look at this offensive line. There was nowhere that you're sitting there and being like, got to make an improvement there. You know, a friend of the official podcast, our guy, Will Fries, like the season he had, you're not thinking about replacing Will Fries. You're thinking about, holy cow, this guy's going to be a free agent after this year.
Right.
We got to think about, you know, maybe after the season retaining this
guy.
So that's a such an impressive thing given where this line was a year ago and all the questions about it of, really, you're bringing back the same starting five? And now it's like, you're really bringing back the same starting five.
Right.
It is a completely different tone with this line.
A lot more information will be coming up over the next couple of weeks. Colts.com always has the latest. JJ's latest. Go ahead, Mate.
No, you mentioned Zaire Franklin. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to interject one thing. I mean, I was really floored with his comments in a good way, and he's right. I mean,
He wants to win.
I've been doing this now I've been covering this team for almost two decades, and I've been working for the team for 14 seasons now. I've never seen anything like what you talked about, JJ. 22 starters coming back. I've never seen all 11 guys on either side of the ball
coming
all return.
Back, right.
And Zaire Franklin spoke on that today. He's like, for some of these guys, like with Kenny Moore and Zaire Franklin, we've been playing together now for 7 years. And you look at this free agency window this offseason that the Colts have that they're under right now. You got Franklin back, Kenny Moore back, Julian Blackman, DeForest Buckner.
Grover Stewart.
So everybody's under the same window, the same time frame. And when DeForest got here, some of these guys were kind of young, up and coming, a lot of potential. Now that potential has been realized. And again, there's just too much talent on this defense for it not to be elite. And so you look at it, everybody's under the same window of contract. Time is now. And that's what Zaire Franklin said. We can't leave here and have nothing to show for it. We have to have something tangible to represent in terms of our time together here, because there's too much continuity and there's too much talent on that side of the ball, not for it to be, I think, sizable. And that's what's exciting when you talk about Zaire Franklin. And he is, I think, just the unquestioned leader on this team. We've talked about that before in the past. There's a lot of leaders in that locker room, but I think Zaire Franklin is it.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy. And so year number three under Gus Bradley, I think he's sending the message that, and I think it's good. I think it's a good sense of urgency to have starting in April that, hey, when we come out for training camp, we need to be good. And we need to be good right freaking away.
Right.
You know what I was thinking about as Z was saying that?
Yeah.
Was like, okay, the draft's in, what, 8 days, 9 days from whenever you listen to this? The Colts are going to add players who are going to compete to start. But no one in that draft class is just going to be like, all right, here you go.
Yeah.
Just roll the ball out. You're the starter, because you're bringing back literally everyone who started for you last year. So that's going to create, I think, really great opportunities for these rookies to come in.
Right.
Hey, here's what the standard is. Go compete to it. And if you're the 15th pick, the 46th pick, the 82nd pick, whatever it might be, you're going to have to compete with guys who have been here. It's not, we signed this mercenary for, you know, 1 year, $3 million, and it's pretty easy to unseat this guy. It's guys who have equity in this building, guys who have strong relationships with their teammates, that now those are the guys you're going to have to beat out. And I think that makes everyone better when you get into training camp.
Best players will play. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with Anthony Costanzo there in Overton, who's not here today. Caught up with him just a couple of days ago, the superhero from the West Coast, Anthony Costanzo.
This was a great interview.
Yeah,
this
he's a good...
I listened to the whole thing. This is a great interview.
And he's a good dude, and I really do think he's going to be in Hollywood one day. Not saying he's not now, but I mean, I seriously think he could do a Hollywood movie as a superhero. Anthony Costanzo, the big
He looks like one.
He does look like one for starters, but his whole mentality has changed and everything, and you can find that out. That's coming up in a minute, but one question, and it's a tough one because I'm playing the devil's advocate in this chair, and I'm reading online, and I'm hearing what I'm hearing about the draft and everything coming up. Mate mentioned it earlier. JJ, I'm going to start with you. Two consecutive seasons, 28th defensively in giving up points. Two consecutive seasons, 28th. Everybody wants playmakers. Bring in this guy for Anthony Richardson. Get this other. Trade up the next four first-rounders to go get this guy. Not so fast. Guys, defensively speaking, you're not shocked. And we've talked about the cornerback position and edge and whatnot. But are you really shocked if Chris Ballard sticks at 15 and takes a defensive player strictly based on those two stats that I gave you earlier from the last 2 years?
No. I mean, absolutely. That would be a very reasonable thing to do when you're looking at your team and you're saying, where can we add talent? Where can we add competition?
Right.
And, okay, yeah, this defense did keep everyone from last year. But okay, that doesn't mean you can't just stay the same. You don't want inertia to set in. You want to be, okay, let's go get everyone better. And if we need to jolt a room by adding someone to it, let's go do it. I mean, I think if you're looking position-wise, I don't think you say anything's off the table. Even though you did just commit a lot to defensive tackle, say with Buckner, Stewart, Raekwon Davis.
Right, right.
Maybe that would be a surprise. But also, if a guy's sitting there at 15 and you think this guy's the next Aaron Donald, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you take him?
Right.
You know? So there's that would absolutely be a path for the Colts. But Shane Steichen talked about it today. I thought this was a really good answer. He got asked, like, you're an offensive guy. Do you have to almost fight the urge to pound the table for offensive guys in the draft room? And he goes, yeah, that's a good, you know, yeah, but I just want a guy who's going to help us win.
Yeah.
And at 15, you have a chance to get a difference maker, especially if there are four, maybe five quarterbacks that are off the board.
That means you're picking 10th.
Right, right, exactly. Because right, you don't, right. Hey, for the first time in 12 years, you don't need that guy.
Sure.
So that's great. So right. That is something that then hopefully leads to a player who maybe is higher up in the way that you stack it,
right.
coming to you at 15.
Now Mate's turn. The reason I'm saying that is, hey, offensive league, you know this, points.
What's he going to do to me
right now? No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Jeffrey goes, I'm going to bring a couple curveballs.
I know, I just said a couple curveballs. So, Mate, I'm saying it's an offensive league. You look at what they've done, you know, I was going to say Kansas City, but boy, Spagnuolo had that defense rolling last year. But I'm saying, are you shocked if the chips fall where they may and they say, hey, defense is where we're going with our first pick?
Well, no, not at all. And it's all coupling what JJ said, too. But I just think, too, like you look at the general consensus of the draft, mm-hmm. there is going to be inevitably so many offensive players that go in the top 10, and you're going to be pushed. Those elite top defensive players are going to be there. So then you have to kind of ask yourself, this is draft 101. I mean, it's certainly more complicated than I'm making it out to be, but then you have to ask yourself, what's the better play here? Because we are bringing back so many starters, so we don't have like immediate glaring needs per se, but you do want the right depth. But you have to start asking yourself, what's a better play for us? Do we want to draft the first or second best corner mm-hmm. or defensive end, or do we want to get the fourth or fifth best wide receiver, knowing that the talent pool at wideout is always so deep? We can get a playmaker. I mean, Josh Downs is the perfect example. We can get an instant playmaker contributor at wide receiver maybe later in the draft, while knowing that the cornerback depth isn't as ample, if you will. So that's when the trade-up, trade-back discussions always come into play. But it's going to be fascinating. I don't think you can go wrong, to be honest with
right,
you.
Right, right. I'm with you on that. At 15, I don't think he can go wrong. I would start another conversation, but we're going to get to Anthony Costanzo because, JJ, we'll do it next week. There's a lot of offensive tackles that are stinking good football players in this draft. And I'm saying a lot of good players are going to be available
and
at
Braden
15.
Braden Smith's coming up in free agency
that's
next
right,
year.
That's right. And young Bernard Raimann obviously doing well over the first course of his 2 years. Right. But, you know, who knows what happens. So a lot more will be answered, but speaking of offensive tackles, the big man, and he was a stalwart here for a lot of years in this Colts offense. I'm telling you, Anthony Costanzo has changed. Obviously, he's dropped a lot of weight, moved kind of out to the West Coast, but he's a different, little bit of a different cat these days that he's not putting the bonnet on Sundays. Enjoy. Well, we welcome in one of the all-time greats to wear the horseshoe, the left tackle. I tell you what, when Anthony Costanzo was in the building, that's all we had to say. If he's in the building, he's starting. Hello, this is a man that did not miss football games from high school to college to professional. If you were eligible to play, you were playing, and obviously with a long career here in Indianapolis at the left tackle position. The first question is the obvious one. Do you miss the grind of the day-to-day of this league where you're at in your life now?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I miss, I mean, no, the grind of the day-to-day. I loved practice. I loved, you know, the getting an opportunity to get better every day, being around the guys. I miss the guys more than anything, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of having those guys to go through things with every day, seeing people, you know, just being around a group of people who are going through the same stuff you are, you know, every hour of the day. That's probably what I miss the absolute most. And I always loved practice. What I don't miss is that overarching stress of what's going to happen on game day. You know, if I get beat for a sack, that's going to be very bad for me and the family name on the back of my jersey and the team name on the front of my jersey. So yeah, it's like that, the overarching stress I don't miss, but yeah, that day-to-day grind I actually really, really enjoyed.
You were a pillar, it has been described, of this organization, of the roster, of course, in your time here. It's always so good to get you back. I got the note that you were going to be in town, and I was like, clear the schedule to get AC back here. What brings you back to Indiana? Because you're in California for the most part now.
Yeah, so my brother actually last year was like, we got to see the eclipse in totality. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he was talking about going to Texas or something, and then I saw the path, and I'm like, goes right through Indianapolis. Let's go to Indianapolis. I got people to see. I got, you know, I wanted to stop by the Colts facility. So ultimately, the purpose for the trip out here was the eclipse, but I get to see a lot of friends, and I get to come around this building and see a bunch of people that I haven't seen in a while, too.
In the opportunities, because you don't get many to come back into the building. You've been back to some games here or there. Yep. Who are the people that you're like, I got to go see anytime that you are around the building or, you know, at the stadium?
Jeff Gorman is number one. No. I mean, it's really all the support staff, everybody who's still here that was here when I was here, you know, in the equipment room, in the training room, in the weight room, and DT, you know, DT has been here since, you know, since I first got drafted here. I'm going to go see the guys in the back, I'll go see Ballard and see the crew back there. It's really anybody who's here, who was here when I was here, was a big part of my life. So it's like, if they were here, then I want to see them because they had a big impact in my life.
Anthony, you had to replace what you brought for over a decade to this game. And to me, to even see you on Tuesdays, your day off and stuff, you were ticked off. I mean, because you were sore and you got to get ready for the Wednesday and then you got to get ready for the Thursday and put it back up on. How do you replace that in your life? Because that's a as I call it, it's a violent car crash bar room once a week, big old fight, Donnybrook. And now that's not in your life. How do you kind of take that sort of intensity you have and shift it now after your career?
It's hard. Football, you know, is a violent game, and it's a game where you get to kind of express that violence in a safe spot. So I definitely miss that. You know, that's something that you can't do as a normal person. Like, it's just illegal. Like, you can't do it. So just having to tame that back. I still work out really hard. I basically live my life as if it's a permanent off season now. So it's not like I'm just kind of getting away from everything. I've created a schedule that is basically the same schedule that I would have adhered to in the off season. It's just that now I don't have a season to prepare for. So it's
are
like,
you in the best shape of your life right now?
I would say I'm pretty close to it. If not, I mean, just, I think when I was playing, it's a different shape.
Sure. Sure.
So right now I'm probably in the best, like, you know, physical condition. When I was playing, you know, I would say that would be the best shape, despite my actual shape not being as good then. My, you know, ability to play football and be as strong and as flexible, I was probably in the best shape ever. But I'm feeling good now. I'll tell you that much. My joints feel a lot better. That's for
looking good
sure.
too, Anthony. Looking
appreciate
good too.
It.
I remember when you announced your retirement and you joked that one of the things you looked forward to was just not having to eat so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like the caloric intake to maintain that was a lot. It was daunting.
It's like, I would say, of anything in my life that is like the biggest change, the fact that I enjoy eating food again has been such a positive change in my life from in retirement. It's like, I can't express how much different it is. Like the fact that when I eat, it's something I look forward to. And like, if I get a little bit overstuffed, it's like, oh, you know, like that was great, rather than just constantly living in a state of like being overstuffed because I have to constantly maintain that weight, because I'm naturally not a huge guy. Like, I'm not one of these guys who has to keep his weight down. Mm-hmm. I always had to keep it up. So yeah, it's really nice to be able to enjoy food again.
When you first moved out to California, I know you were doing a whole lot of biking, obviously taking advantage of the scenery. What's keeping you active right now?
I still bike. I still go to the gym. I go on a lot of walks. We've got a dog that I walk. And actually, I took up snowboarding as a hobby, because I always wanted to, but I was never going to, because if I got injured snowboarding, that would be very bad for a lot of reasons. So once I retired, I was able to take it up, and I love getting up on the mountain and just kind of flying down. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, before we talk some of your teammates that are getting some awards recently, when you came here, when you signed here with the Colts, the family still owned that restaurant in Illinois. It's no longer there, but I have to get back to cooking, because we would talk when you were playing, like, hey, what are you cooking this week?
Yep.
Is cooking still a big part of your life?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I've really gotten into meal planning, like, just because cooking every meal every day gets a little daunting. But when you again, part of my structure, I truly live my life structured as if I'm still a football player. At the beginning of the week, I literally write out Monday through Sunday, and I have every meal that I'm going to eat. So then I go to the grocery store. I know the exact amount of groceries I need to get. I'm a very structured person, and it's really nice. And, you know, you work in like, oh, I'll be going to a restaurant for this meal and for this meal. Sometimes when friends are like, hey, you want to go out to eat? I'm like, it doesn't fit into the schedule, but I guess that I can move things around. So, yeah, it's just, you know, finding kind of living in that same structured world of that I lived in with football, but just now the structure just comes from me like a weirdo instead of from an external source. Yeah.
Well, Jeffrey mentioned we're going to talk to you about one of your teammates, Dwight Freeney, and the fact he's going into Canton, going to the Hall of Fame later this year. Coming in as a rookie, can you describe for someone what that assignment was like going into training camp when you had to face off not just that guy, but on the opposite side, you knew it was Mathis coming from there?
Yeah, there's. I think I could just say that in one story that sticks in my mind, which was after my first practice. You know, I was a first-round pick coming into the NFL, and after my first practice, maybe my first two practices, maybe it was my first practice in pads, I remember calling my dad and just being like, I am the worst tackle in the history of the NFL. I cannot play in this league because I was just getting abused in practice by Freeney and Mathis. And I go to him, I'm like, I don't think I blocked Dwight Freeney once this entire practice. And I remember him saying, like, I don't think too many people do. And for his career, I mean, actually, to this day, Ben Ajelana, who I got drafted with, will send me like YouTube videos, and they're usually Dwight Freeney against, you know, some of the biggest names to ever play left tackle, and he's abusing everybody he played against. And I'm like, I'm not sure he got blocked cleanly once in his entire career. Like he truly was that good, and he made me a lot better. I'm not sure I made him better at that point in both of our careers, but I like to think that I did. But yeah, he deserves to go into Canton for sure.
Wonderful. Obviously, the stories from, you know, your offensive line and, you know, the guys that come in, come out, and you were a stalwart here. Your love for this game, did it carry over till after your careers? I'm talking about Sundays. Do you sit down and watch football, or do you watch Colts football specifically?
Colts football is on my big screen. That is the number one that I've got. And then I've got all the other games on my iPad or on my computer. So I've got all the other games. When the Colts are on a commercial, I'll watch the other games. Or the Colts are my number one. Sometimes I'll turn off all the other games if it's getting a little heated. But I watch every play. I actually just saw Bernard Raimann. Just saw him in the hallway, and I'm like, hey, if you ever get any questions, feel free to ask me, because I watch every single play that you play, and I know exactly what happens. So, yeah, I definitely watch. I still watch the offensive line position specifically as an art form, because I really appreciate the different things that guys are able to do and kind of what goes into it, obviously, because it was my entire life.
Hey, Jim Irsay, if you're listening, this consultant here should be on the payroll if he's going to do some left tackle instructions for a young guy like Bernard Raimann. That's what I was going to. Do you watch footwork specifically, or are you watching a play as a fan, or are you watching it as, you know, a 10-plus year offensive tackle?
I mean, I watch it as an offensive tackle. Like, I watch... Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where the ball is. I don't watch the ball when I'm watching football. I watch the line play. I still really enjoy it. I watch it like it's film, basically, because that's the only way. I mean, that's how I've watched football for as long as, you know, I can remember, as it's basically been film. So that's what I still watch. And I love it. I mean, I really, on Sundays from morning till night, I'm watching football.
Awesome.
Yeah. And when you played, that was such a unit of excellence with the guys who you were lining up next to each and every Sunday. What strides did you see in particular from that group last season under the guidance of Tony Sparano Jr., second year with a guy like Bernard Raimann?
Yeah, well, Bernard made huge strides. I mean, even in his first year, from his first game to the last game, he's going to be a stud for a long time. People are going to forget about me real quick, which is ideal. That's what as a lover of the Colts, I want them to forget about me, because Bernard is playing at the level that he is. And I think last year, the huge strides they made as a unit were when everyone was healthy, which is huge. I mean, people need to realize how huge it is when all the linemen are healthy, and even when they're not nicked up. Like, if you can get a fully healthy, if you get those five guys who play offensive line for the Colts fully healthy for a full season, I mean, they're going to be dominant. And I think last year they did a really good job just being in unison in their pass protection. You could tell that Coach Sparano did a nice job with them, making sure everybody knew what to expect out of the guy next to them, so that when they were blocking as a unit instead of five individuals. And I think they did a real nice job.
Of the guys who you played with in this organization, who do you talk with the most? Who do you keep in touch with most still?
I'm actually leaving tomorrow to go visit Muhort. I would say I probably talk to him the most. You know, he and I played next to each other for a good chunk of time. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the linemen I played with, we still keep in touch with. You know, Joe Wright, I still talk with. I'm actually having dinner with all the linemen who are here currently tonight. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Let's get a camera on that.
Yeah. Listen, stay out of my personal life, Gorman.
You know the rules.
Hey, what was that one memory of yours that sits at the mountaintop of your career here in the NFL when either you're walking off the field or you're in the locker room or leaving with your family after the game where you said, it doesn't get any better than this?
You know what my favorite memory of playing in the NFL is? When I caught a touchdown pass. You kidding me?
By the way, you're one for one in your career, which
I believe quarterbacks are 158.3 rating when throwing to me, so that's a good way to end your career. But yeah, that moment sticks out in my head. Like, I remember it so vividly because I remember Reggie running into the huddle and he just looked at me and said, don't screw this up. And I'm like, don't screw what up? And then he called the play and I'm like, oh, I'm about to score a touchdown pass. This is awesome. And my claim to fame, regardless of anything else that happened in my career, is that on a play, Reggie Wayne was used as a decoy so that I could get open to score a touchdown.
How about that?
Hey, I'll take it.
Damn. The poor defender that had that coverage and assignment.
No, the beautiful thing is that there was no defender that was assigned to me, which is why I was so wide open.
I love it. One thing that I don't think many Colts fans would note, but you are not the only Costanzo family member with imprints on this organization. Great. Our content team puts out a couple times a year these fantastic illustrations to the credit of your brother.
Yeah, my brother's an incredible talent in terms of artistic ability. He can do anything drawing-wise and conceptually, the way that he can create backgrounds. When you look at those cartoons, don't just scroll through them. Look at all the little details that he puts in the background.
Like Easter eggs.
Yeah, he puts little Easter eggs in everything, and it's really fun, and he takes a lot of pride in that stuff, and he will not put it forth until it is absolutely perfect, and yeah, he's pretty incredible.
You'll see those. It's usually like 4th of July, over the holidays, like Christmas time, kind of all of that is when we have seen a number of those. So it's the same meticulous nature that you practiced when you were playing and that you still have as part of your very routine regimen with your workouts and your eating and all of that. That is a consistent Costanzo family trait.
Absolutely. And shameless plug, check out his Instagram at CBillDraw.
CBillDraw. Yeah. That is the brother of Anthony Costanzo.
He does incredible stuff. It's amazing.
Hey, when Colts fans think of you, like we talked about, just an iron, you know, you're an iron man. You showed up, you played. I always hated it when you were injured on the training table. You couldn't even talk to him around then because he was so ticked off. But
I don't know. He always talked to me. I think that was just you.
That was different.
I was just always ticked off when I was talking to you, Gorman.
That was it. But do you think about stuff like that? The consistency that you had and the ultimate thing as far as an individual franchise go is the Ring of Honor. Is that anything that's ever crossed your mind to be part of this Ring of Honor here in Indianapolis?
You know, that's up to Indianapolis. The biggest thing about my career that I look back on that I'm really proud of is the fact that when I retired, I could say I had no regrets. Mm-hmm. I had no regrets about the amount of time. Like, oh, I wish I would have, you know, concentrated more. I wish I would have put more time into this. I put everything that I had to be as successful as possible on the field. And sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes I was. But what I can look back and be extra proud of is the effort that I put forth and the fact that I put everything that I had to kind of give what I had for the city, for the team, and for my teammates ultimately. So yeah, I mean, accolades have never really been something that I was striving for. I just wanted to improve every day. And yeah, so I'm happy with the way that things turned out and the career that I had.
Good.
I hope there is not another, you know, major astrological event that has to happen to bring you back.
Right.
I hope that we can get you back at some point, you know, for a game this season, just to hang out and enjoy. So it's always great to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Being around the facility, it's nothing but good memories here.
If you're in Southern California and you see somebody take a wave in from the beach or boogie boarding or cycling or mountain climbing, it might just be Anthony Costanzo, one of the best to ever wear the horseshoe right here. He's back to say hello to you Colts fans and Alara and I. Appreciate the time. It's always fun catching up with you.
My pleasure.
And we will do it again in the future. I give you that promise.
Love it.
All right. Thanks so much to Anthony Costanzo. Boys, I'm telling you, don't cut the hair. Don't cut the hair. Keep lifting. Keep doing his meal samples that he does every Monday to prepare. I mean, Anthony Costanzo, I'm calling it right now. Next superhero action film star. He's from our backyard, originally in Illinois, but he's going to Chicago guy too.
Chicago guy. Yeah. We talked after you left the room. I was telling him about the Portillo's bit and how you told Alec Pierce once that you don't like wet meat.
It is wet meat though. Yeah. I mean, now let's not
Oregano's.
Start this again.
That was the name of his place.
Oregano's.
His family's restaurant.
Also, after he was done recording, I was chatting with him and he was talking, you know, with me and Lara. And Lara and him start talking about macros and some nutritional stuff. And I'm just standing there like slack-jawed. Like, boy, do I feel like an idiot right now. I was like, I feel like I've done a decent job taking care of my body. And now it's like, you guys are at like 500-level classes.
Right.
I'm at like 200-level of like, don't eat a bunch of sugar.
PhD, yeah.
Right. Well done.
Sugar
well
bad.
Done from Costanzo. And a lot of the greats, including Andrew Luck, were in last week. The Truck Strong Initiative raising...
Raising, that was a fun night. Yeah, I was at that.
Okay.
That was a fun night.
Luck was good, right? And it was a cool thing that Ursae put him up to as far as having the challenge.
So what happened before, I know you all saw the video where he threw the balls for $1 million.
This is when he pushed Chuck aside. He said, get out of the way.
Yeah,
move.
So Pete Ward gets up to the podium and he goes, I just got off the phone with my boss. And he says that if you guys can knock down all these things, and then here comes, you know, Blue with his board. If you knock all these things down, it's $1 million to the IU Simon Comprehensive Cancer Center. And yeah, Luck is slinging it. And then, yeah, like you said, he kind of moves Chuck. It's like, get it. I got this.
A great night, huh?
That was a great night. What a night.
Great
night. A lot of money raised for a very good cause.
Always. And the Colts and Ursae family will continue to do that because that's an agreement they have with Chuck that said, we're going to get you out of the years ago. We're going to get you out of here, and we're going to continue to run a foundation and help people. And they've proven that.
So I went with my wife, and even just like going there and talking about it and just being like, how incredible is it that Chuck Pagano hasn't been the coach of this team since 2017, but yet he can still raise a ton of money for this cause in our building, within the walls of this building, and he is still beloved by everyone. It's so cool seeing him interact with, you know, staffers who are here when he was here, and I chatted with him for a little bit. Just what a perfect person to be out in front of this, you know, battle against cancer and raise so much money for
and
it.
And done like, so much.
Not,
and
yeah. Yeah. Not be a better
Chuck was so easy to work with. He was so laid back. Yeah. And he would tell you the truth.
Yep.
And sometimes the truth wasn't pretty.
That's right.
But the high times under Chuck, they were glorious.
Hey, there man, he had
times.
Some great relationships here and some bad relationships here, like happens in all work. But I tell you what, Chuck Pagano, one of the greatest coaches as far as men go and stuff, and his message off the football field and what those players, what he meant to those players. You talk about guys coming back to an event like that.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and talking about Chuck, like that's the guy. That is the epitome of a player's coach right there.
The 2012 season was truly magical.
Yeah.
You know, with B.A. here, and Andrew Luck's rookie season, and everybody shaving their head halfway through the season. I mean, the orange gloves game with Reggie. I mean, that's truly – that was my first year. I mean, you talk about swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I was trying to keep my head above
water.
Welcome
to the NFL.
Plus all that stuff was going on. I mean, that was a crash course and – just trying to fall in line and be professional just like
everybody
else. I love
it. Guys, good stuff today. JJ, thanks for sitting down with DeForest Maytay. Great stuff with Michael Pittman Jr. and the rest of them. Lara Overton will be back next week. I'm just throwing this out there. We don't have to have a dissertation on it. It's just an easy question. Okay, so
Maytay and I have no idea what's coming right
now. Say I'm a guy. I'm coming in from out of town with my family. I want the best hamburger in the Indianapolis, greater Indianapolis area. Where are you sending me?
See, I'm still searching for it.
You are kind of a new sort of Hoosier,
you
know.
I don't know if I think
does
he's Portillo, the right guy
to does Portillo's
ask.
Have
Portillo's
a hamburger?
You called it the right thing. Congrats. All right. That's growth.
Do they have a hamburger?
They do. It's very
okay,
good.
Okay, then leave it there. Then that's it. That's what you want. You're going to get Portillo's.
Maytay,
I want a real answer
from this. I
live
up north. Bubs is big. Bubs is good.
Bubs is good.
Bubs is good. I feel like there's – I still haven't been to Working Man's Friend.
It's great.
Got to get there. Yes. I know. Matt Wilkening, one of our you know, production – the guy who's behind all these
the
great things we do
burger.
In production. He looked at me like, what is wrong with you that you haven't been there?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had like two heads or something. Right. So I got to get there.
We'll get you there.
But I think he's your guy.
Yeah.
There's so many. I mean – Union Jack's was always a really good burger.
Is it still around?
Yeah. Yeah. The Broad Ripple. I think the one in Speedway is no longer with us. Working Man's Friend. Gosh darn.
Come on, guys. Don't give me the chains either. I don't want Shake Shack in there or nothing like that. You don't have Donna and Gary's, you know, corner bar or anything down
there? The Willard down in Franklin. I know that's not in
the Wheeler?
The Willard.
Oh, the Willard.
The
See, there Willard we go. Now
down
we're talking.
In Franklin had a great burger.
All right, we'll find them.
See, here's my problem is, like, I go to a restaurant, and we were talking about this before we came on. I eat a burger, and I'm just, you put me to sleep.
It's, yeah, you want to.
So
it is filling.
I don't
like Ron Burgundy.
I don't get a ton of burgers anymore because I've hit that age now where, like, I don't metabolize that stuff
it
as well as
filling.
I used to.
All right.
So
running our production today's Connor Handle. Where are you going, Connor?
The Tap.
The Tap.
Tap, great burger. Real good burger.
Where's the Tap?
Is that a chain, though?
Doesn't matter.
Technically, yeah, Tap. There's one in downtown. There's one in Bloomington. Yeah, real
District
good.
Tap or just the Tap?
The Tap.
The Tap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you drink your weight in beer while you're there?
Really good beer.
Really good beer. Appreciate
yes.
it. Hey.
See, Connor is actually the right guy to ask
I know.
The whole time.
I know. Yeah. No, he wanted to be on the couch earlier for the football discussion, but we'll wait
wait
on that. It's coming because he does have some great insight. Thank you for your help today. And, folks, thanks for watching today. For Matt Taylor, J.J. Stankovitz, big thanks to Anthony Costanzo, and, of course, DeForest Buckner, one of the newly signed Colts, who's going to be here for a couple more years. It's on, boys. It's on. I'm always saying this. I always say it the year in it. The Monday of the Boston Marathon when they run it and the 11 o'clock first pitch in Boston.
Totally.
That is the day that everything else behind this is gravy because we have summer coming. We've got,
May.
We've got May coming, yeah. Obviously, with the race coming up.
100%.
Mate, you love the Major League All-Star Game. I know that's going to be. You're going
to
be.
Look forward to it every year.
You're going to be chopping at the bit, but I'm saying
Aaron
Westfield
Judge.
And the training camp will be upon us, guys. As soon as that Boston Marathon hits, can't wait. So appreciate you both for sitting down, and we're going to do it again, all right?
Yeah, July 12th, can't get here fast enough. That Tuesday of All-Star Weekend.
It's my birthday as well. I thought you were going to be.
Hell yeah.
I'll have a birthday party about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
And Encarnacion Strand.
Yeah, we'll go to Priscilla's. We'll go to Portillo's. Priscilla's. Jeez. God bless.
You almost had a full podcast.
Oh, almost. Folks, it's time to leave. We'll see you next week. For J.J. Stankovitz, Matt Taylor, I'm Jeffrey Gorman. Thanks for watching the official Colts podcast. One more time, the official Colts podcast. There we go.